and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You're listening to the series, Bloom Where You're Planted. And now with the word, here's Tracy Jones.
I have something for you guys that I heard a few years ago. They didn't share this exact message, it was a little different. But I've never forgotten their illustration. And so I think you're never going to forget this today. And I'm just believing so. I'm thinking, believing that the Lord is going to plant this seed in your heart and it's just going to bear a lot of fruit. A lot of what we've been talking about this whole weekend kind of all ties in together. So it's just you're getting a power punch of truth and life and how to walk more victoriously. Because don't you guys get tired of the sermons that you just have no idea what to do with that? Like, I've heard a lot of those going through Bible school and going through a Christian college, and I was in a Christian high school, and there were so many times I'm like, okay, that was nice, and I don't even remember what they talked about, you know? So I'm always like, when I get up to share, I'm always like, Lord, I want to give something that you guys can go home with and actually live it. How do I live that? How do I apply that to my life today? How does that mean anything to me today? So, because that's the stuff that you remember. Anyway, turn with me to Colossians 1, 26 through 29. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That'll get you happy if you think about that for a while. But this is the mystery of the gospel. That's what that verse is. That's the mystery of the gospel right there. Christ in me, the anointed one. Do you guys know that, what Christ actually means? Because so many times we have like come to know in the church, Christ just as like the surname for Jesus, you know. Christ, Jesus Christ, you know, like almost like if he were walking, call him Mr. Christ. But what happened, actually, when they were translating the Bible, they translated most of the words into English, where we understand them. But the word Christ, they transliterated, which means they didn't translate it, they just brought it straight over from the Greek. And so, it actually, to us, has very little meaning. I mean, Christ has come to symbolize Jesus, but what they were actually saying, the definition of Christ, means the anointed one and his anointing. And so when the disciples talked about Jesus Christ, they were actually saying Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing. Every single time they said it, that's what it meant to them. And it hasn't meant that to us, I mean, because of the transliteration. But Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing within me is the hope of glory. Wherever I go, I carry the fragrance of Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing within me. That's good. It adds a little more meaning that way. I mean, otherwise it's just sort of like, okay, yeah, that's sort of figured out. I don't understand that. But Christ in me, the hope of glory. I just love that fact that the greater is, and I was thinking about this yesterday on the plane. I got on the plane and my husband wasn't with me. And being pregnant, I kept thinking, I have someone with me. That's so bizarre. You know, like I have this little life, like I'm not sitting here alone. And then I started thinking about it further and I thought, you know what, I'm really never alone. The Holy Spirit always goes with me wherever I am. The Holy Spirit isn't always as visible as this baby's getting. So, you know, like, baby makes me uncomfortable and it's growing and my belly's getting big, and it's sort of a visible reminder all the time that I'm not alone. But I'm telling you, you are never alone. The Holy Spirit, the anointed one, is within you. And wherever you go, whatever room you walk into, whatever place you're in, you walk in full of the Spirit of God. It's such an awesome thought. Do you know, and I know this is elementary, but do you know that your enemy is already defeated? Do You know, so many times we talk about the devil as if he's equal with God. And he's not. He's already lost. He's already been defeated. He was defeated from the beginning of time. And then he was redefeated on the cross. He's totally, the word says, he's under our feet. He is completely defeated. So when we talk about the devil in the world today, we're not talking about an equal with God. You need to hear that, because we give the devil so much glory. We make him so strong and so powerful, and he's just tearing me up and eating my lunch and all this stuff. The devil, the devil, the devil. And I'm telling you, the devil is already defeated. He's not that big, and he's not that bad, and he's not that glorious. We're the ones that give him the glory so many times. And I want to talk to you about that today, and also some other stuff to do with that. And I'm going to talk about what you focus on will develop. And that's why we had this little trusty camera here. Okay, Polaroid camera, right? But Cameron takes some pretty pictures of you guys. It's a little illustration of a big truth that whatever you are focusing on in your life will develop. And this will eventually develop and show this beautiful... Okay, I have to take a picture of this side of the room. You guys are feeling left out. Okay. 1, 2, 3, smile. Okay, now we got both sides going up. But whatever you focus on is going to develop in your life. Your life is so much like a camera, because whatever you're pointing all of your attention to is going to seem huge and is going to develop in your life. Good lesson. You'll never think of a camera the same way I'm telling you. I had someone just illustrate this, and they used this illustration. If there's your lovely pastor's wife. Diane. So, and this the other side, it's just getting there. It's like a fuzzy blur right now, but it's coming clear, and it'll be clear by the end of the message. But whatever you are focusing your attention on is going to seem very big, and is going to become very big in your eyes, and is going to develop in your life. If your focus is the devil and how sick you are and how... It has a lot to do with what Mom was talking about earlier today about, you know, when she was talking about all of the things that you're looking at and you're speaking the facts, or are you going to speak God's truth? But this just brings it back into a little bit different definition of, if all you're focusing on is the devil and his plans and he's just running over my family and my health is horrible... Well, guess what? You're going to get a really big picture of the devil. And the devil is going to seem so large in your eyes. So big and so powerful. And you know what? If you look for the devil and everything, guess what? You'll find him. I have people that they just see demons in everything. Demons in the bush and demons in the weather and demons in the all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, well, you know what? Whatever they're focusing on is developing. They're looking for the enemy. It's like... Have you ever bought a new color car, or you get a red car, or you get a black car? And I remember I got a new car a couple years ago, four years ago or so. And everywhere I went, it's a black Explorer, and everywhere I went, all of a sudden, all I'm seeing is black Explorers. Which there are a lot of black Explorers in the world. You guys may not even be sensitive to that. But I was sensitive to it because I had a black Explorer. So everywhere I went, I saw black Explorers. And they loomed large to me. And I'm telling you, if you are sensitive, if you're the devil sensitive, everywhere you look, you're going to start seeing the devil operate. And he's going to seem so big and so powerful. But if you're God conscious and you're God sensitive, then everywhere you look, you're going to see the hand of God working. It's as simple as that. You know, someone said to me the other day, and I don't know much, it was yesterday, we were sitting, and I don't remember who it was, so no condemnation, because I don't remember, I just was thinking about this comment last night, and they said, you know, this town has been so bad, and it's just so full of drug addicts and alcoholics and all this stuff, and I thought, no, well, that is one perspective of this town. It's one way to look at it, and again, if you are looking for the evil and you're looking for the bad, guess what? You'll find that in every town. Or you can see what God's doing and what the hand of God is and His destiny and His purpose for your city. And if you become more aware of what God's destiny is for your city, what God's destiny is for your church, what God's destiny is for your family, what His plan is, and just expect Him all the time, Lord, what are you doing? Because I know that you're working all things for good on my behalf. That's what the Word says. So somewhere in the middle of this, you're working for good. And I just want to have eyes to see what you're doing. Give me eyes to see. And you have this, like, have you guys ever heard of Alfred Hitchcock? You know, all of his Alfred Hitchcock? Well, in the Alfred Hitchcock movies, and I think every movie but once, Alfred Hitchcock makes an appearance. At some point in, I haven't seen a lot of them, just heard this fact. And I haven't looked at all of them to see, but I know there's one that he didn't. But in every movie, he's a little old man in the background, or he walks across the screen, or he's a waiter, or he's somewhere in every movie. He's like, where's Elmo? And it's almost like, you know, people that are fanatics about Alfred Hitchcock, they watch these movies just looking for his appearance. Okay, where is he going to be? Is he the waiter? You know, and fast forward, rewind, is that him? No, that's not him. And they're fanatic about, where is Alfred Hitchcock in the movie? And we need to be that way about God in our lives. Where are you working? What are you doing? What are you doing in my town? I know you're working because you want to bless this town. So what are you doing? And I'm telling you, I've heard awesome things about what the youth group, what's happening in the youth group. Well, instead of celebrating the dark side, let's celebrate what God is doing in this place. Let's celebrate what He is doing, what the kingdom of God is doing. And it's wonderful. I love being around people that are full of life. And they just can't, they don't. Aren't full of the negative of, you know, like I talked about Eastman Curtis earlier, and I love Eastman Curtis because every time he gets up to speak, he talks about the incredible miracles that God is doing with the youth of America and how they're being saved. And he is so full of hope for this generation. And I get so tired of people being so negative about this generation because you know what? God has a destiny for this generation, which means God is working. You just are missing it. You just don't have eyes to see what God is already doing because He has a heart for this generation. And He has a heart for your generation. So wherever you're from, God is working. He is at work. But are you more aware of what the devil is doing or what God is doing? Because whatever you focus on is going to develop in your life. Good lesson. It just kind of changes your eyesight and you start thinking, what have I been focusing on in my life? What is developing in my life? You know, if you get your focus on Christ in me, the hope of glory, like I read, whoo, it starts getting big in your spirit, and there you can just, it really will get rid of the fear in your life. I'm telling you, I can walk in anywhere. I was talking to my husband the other day, and I don't know that I've ever been anywhere that I could remember that I've been afraid. Because I've always walked, my parents, since I was little, like, she was talking about last night, about how they ministered as missionaries over in Zimbabwe during the Liberation War. And they walked without fear, and the reason was they knew they had a calling from God. The presence of God was in them, and they walked without fear. And I saw that illustration as a little child. So my whole life, I've been more aware, Christ is in me. Who can be against me? And I love this story. It's just one of my favorite stories in the Bible, of David and Goliath. You guys remember that story? Little bitty David, and he comes up, and he's just, all he's got is a sling, and all those big soldiers are afraid to face him. They have a VeggieTales version that's really cute. And he comes up, and he's just, in the VeggieTales, he's a little bitty pea, you know? He's just a pea, and he hops up, and doesn't have arms, so he swings it with his head. Anyway, but David, there's this verse that says, David stands before Goliath, and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I love that. Every time I read that, I just thought, here's little bitty David, and he's just standing there full of outrage that Goliath should defy the armies of the living God. Because you know what? He was so much more aware of how big his God was than how big Goliath was. That's all he could see was how big God is. So who are you to come against my God? No one else will speak, I'll speak, because my God is so big and He's backing me up. Just comes with this incredible defiance. And I love it. I love it because We've got to get that on the inside of us. Who is this devil that he should defy the armies of the living God, that he should come against my family, that he should come against my home? Who is this little bitty devil? Because I am backed by God. I am an ambassador of God. I walk with the favor of God. I walk with the life of God in me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Christ, the hope of glory, lives in me. So who is he? Because I'm not looking for the devil. I'm looking for the power of God to flatten whatever the devil's doing. You get your eyes on who and how big your God is. Our God is so... I was preaching myself happy. But the enemy, so often, oh, if he can get your attention onto him, then he becomes so big. I was in a... I got the opportunity to go to Alaska and minister for a time up in Alaska. And this guy took me out on a... We went on a fishing boat, you know, and... It's in Alaska, but in the ocean, and the waves are going up and down. And the captain of the boat said to me, because I was starting to feel a little creepy, and, The captain said, you know, if you keep your eyes on the mountains or on the horizon, you won't get seasick. And I just stopped, and I thought, that is such a spiritual picture. Because if your eyes are always on the waves, you're going to get seasick. But if your eyes are on the horizon, you won't get seasick. There's another area, too, that the enemy wants to keep you focused on, and that is your past. All the time, it's like you may have dealt with it and gotten free and forgiven, like Mom was talking about, work through forgiveness and healing. But if you're always going back to it and always thinking about the past or regretting the past, you're going to be bound in the present. If your past is your focus, you won't walk in freedom today. Your past is going to continue to develop. Even though you have victory in that area, if you're continually going back there, kind of like a dog to his vomit, that's what it's like when you keep returning to your sins that the blood of Jesus has covered, that he has said, my blood is stronger than your sins. I've covered them. I don't see them. All I see you is washed. And white, and in fact, he calls us the redeemed of the Lord. And when you keep going back there, it's like you're saying, I know you've forgiven me, God, but I just don't believe your blood is enough. It really is like you're saying that, because his blood is more than enough for whatever has happened in your past. And there comes a time when the enemy wants to remind you of your past, that you just say, that is under the blood. My father says he remembers it no more. As far as east is from the west. But you can never get to east to meet the west. Did you guys know that? Like if you go around the earth and you keep going east, you'll just always go east and you never reach west. This is one of the practical lessons I'm throwing in there. So it means like infinity. There isn't, east is never ever going to meet west. They are, and that's how far your sin is. He can't remember your sin. It's under the blood of Jesus, and Jesus' blood is more than enough for whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, whatever your past is. And it's the enemy. Every time the past wants to come up, you just say, it's under the blood. As far as the east is from the west, and I am walking today with an awareness of how big my God is in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Good. It's such a wonderful, much better way to live than always looking back. You know, I had a lady call the office, and she said all of her life she has been taught in the church that she was raised in that she needed to be holy. And the whole church focus was on, you need to be holy. You need to die to self, die to self, die to self. And they preached that over and over again. And she said, you know what? The more I focus on dying to self, the more self rises up. And I just thought, again, of this lesson. You know what? Whatever you focus on will develop. If all you're thinking is, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, most likely you're going to sin because that's all you can see and it's all you're aware of. And everywhere you go, all you can see is all the things that you can do wrong. Amazing. And she said, I just had this revelation. Of, what if I've been focusing on the wrong thing? Why am I not focusing on Jesus? And when my focus is on Jesus, I'm not going to be aware of sin. I'm not even going to be tempted to be sinning. But if I'm always focusing on trying not to sin, then I'm going to end up in sin. My dad gives this illustration of, it's like you're driving down the road, and all you can think about is, don't go in the ditch, don't go in the ditch. And so you're watching the ditches all the way along the road. And whatever I watch, I'm not that great of a driver, but whatever I watch on the side of the road, I end up steering towards. It's a little terrifying. So I can't watch, like if there's things like wrecks and things like that, I can't watch them. I just have to keep my eyes on the road because you end up kind of slowing down, and before you know it, your car has just been over, the line. It's the same way in your life. If you're so aware of the ditches, you're going to end up in the ditch. If that's all that you can focus on is the ditches. And the Lord wants to bring your focus back to the center of the road, and the center of the road is Him today. He is so big, and He is so able to keep you from falling. And you don't have to totally focus on falling to not fall. You just focus on Jesus, and He will keep you. His sustaining grace. I want you to leave here today more conscious of the Spirit of God within you than you are of the devil. I hear so many Christians, and it's like every second sentence has the devil in it. And I just don't really give him that much glory or that much time, because basically, he's got to go. He's defeated, and when I rebuke him, he goes. He's under my feet. And it's that simple. I mean, I've seen people make deliverance a huge ordeal, and I don't know if some of you are new Christians, I don't want to freak you out, but some of them are like, there's a devil, and there's, oh, we got to get the devil out, and they go into this huge performance and all this stuff, and I'm just always thinking, he's already defeated. All you do is tell him to go, and he has to go. We have authority. We have authority, and we don't have to focus on him and give him glory and magnify the enemy to tell him to go. Jesus didn't. Jesus just said go. He didn't let the demons put on a show. He just told them to go. And we have the same authority. We walk in the name of Jesus. So if there is an area of your life where you know, man, the enemy's messing with me. Well, instead of continually talking about how much the enemy is eating your lunch and the enemy's messing with you, tell him to go. And get on about glorifying Jesus, worshiping Jesus, lifting up Jesus, putting on praise and worship, and getting in His presence, and giving Him glory, and focusing on magnifying the Lord. And Lord, You're so worthy. You're so good. You're present in this house. You're present in everything that I'm doing. And turn your eyes towards Jesus. And look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His wonderful grace.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.